And welcome along to our second last Zab Chat of 2024. Two very special guests today. But Bill, let's kick off with life at Xavier. It's been pretty exciting.
It has, Shane, and I was just reflecting, our VC boys have just finished. So yesterday or on Wednesday, as we're recording here, was French and Italian. So a really beautiful, one of the highlights of my year is always seeing actually a crowd of people to congratulate the Italian boys. They're 5:15, out they come, as at the very end of the line of all of our VCE exams. So that was a really lovely moment.
And our exec meeting yesterday had just concluded, and I'm thinking, what is this enormous roar? And it was like they made
a little tunnel.
Yeah, a tunnel.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
It is great.
Yeah.
And our boarders always get welcomed and congratulated in the same way by Alex and Jen. They do a wonderful job. So that's a little bit of gold. But I was reflecting back to Jared. We always had our bits of gold. And so I've got two today just to share before we welcome our very special guests today. The first, of course, last night was the draft. It's always big in Victoria, and it was pretty big here for Xavier College as well. So number two in the draft, Finn O'Sullivan.
Fantastic.
It was a really wonderful, almost surpassed by the reaction from the boarding house, as all of the boys there in their Xavier jumpers were pretty excited at that number two pick. They would have been excited at any number for him, but a real testament to Finn. You've had a bit of experience.
Yeah, definitely, Bill. I think that's a great way to put it. And anyone who's got any idea of Instagram or Facebook, go and find Xavier College and you'll see those boys in the boarding house just erupting when Finn was called out at number two.
One of their brothers. But the other interesting bit for me was when you looked at actually the strength of the competition that we play in. So of the top five, four came out of the APS.
Yes, yes.
Of the top 25, 11 are APS. You take out four interstaters and how good it is that they're present as well. But of 21 Victorians, 11 are APS. So, you know, that's a great testament for the calibre of the sporting competition that we're fortunate to contribute to and be part of.
Yeah, well, I really enjoy coaching the Year 10s, like the last step into that. And the quality of football, if a lot of our listeners haven't been to an APS football game for a long time or ever, it is high quality.
It is.
High quality. Xavier always really stands up nicely. Doesn't win the premiership every year, but every team just seems to have quality oozing through.
It is. And I think for the APS too, it's the way we play the game. It's the deeper values that the game stands for, whatever game that might mean, not just footy, but of all of our other 24 sports. And then the other bit of gold was a lovely email that I got through the week. It actually came through from our head of students who had received an email from a member of the public.
Okay.
And I just thought it would be lovely to share. It's very, very short, very simple. But a lady wrote in to say, "Good morning. I travel regularly on the Sandringham line. I often encounter Xavier students. I've only ever witnessed kind and respectful behaviour from your students. A case in point was watching as a fellow passer dropped his air pillow and your boys had a choice to make, walk over it or pick it up and run after him. They chose the latter. Way to go, Xavier."
Oh,
it was just
fantastic.
And the subject line was, "It's the little things that matter." And I thought she beautifully summed that up and encapsulated it. So of all the things that go on from time to time, you know, we remind ourselves of just these little things, and they're not isolated for our boys. I had a lovely encounter the other day seeing eight of our boys, corner of Swan and Church Street, looking immaculate late in the afternoon and knowing that they had just walked down the hill from Friday night school. And the look almost of satisfaction on their faces of another great Friday spent.
Yeah.
These are the good little moments.
And I think Jared, who's done his last exam, would say to you, Bill, at this moment, that is gold.
That is.
Definitely.
And, of course, he was one of those boys yesterday. So a really good shout-out to Jared and all of his mates. We're looking forward. Hopefully they have a safe week of enjoyment after their exams, and really looking forward to the red and black, which is a lovely highlight and that transition from school life to adulthood.
It's exciting to watch. So you have two rather special guests to introduce.
Absolutely. So we have, and with great pleasure, we have our current and soon-to-be outgoing chair of the College Board, Tony Noonan. Welcome, Tony.
Morning, Bill. Morning,
good to see you, Tony.
And a lovely passing of a baton. And we have our incoming chair of board, Kathleen Donlan. So, Kathleen, welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good to see you, Kathleen.
So this is a really special episode. And but, Tony, you know, to you, at the end of an extraordinary six-year journey. I mean, there's so much that has occurred over the time. We're looking forward to unpacking this a little bit with you this morning. But maybe if I just start off just on behalf of the college community, and it's not just the college, the students, the parents, the staff members, it's the entire Olsevierian community, everyone who's invested, just to say thank you for extraordinary service to your college.
Oh, thanks, Bill. I mean, and I've spoken to Kathleen about this. It is a great privilege to be and an honour to be chairing the Xavier School Board. I think it's it enables us to put something back, but boy, you get a whole lot more out of it than anything that you could ever give. So it's been a terrific experience.
And I actually was with Tony on the board for quite a few years. We really formed a great friendship through that. And my first question, Tony, is when you took on the chairman's role, you couldn't possibly have envisaged what was ahead, because what was ahead was COVID. And it threw life into disarray, let alone trying to chair the board of a large college like this.
Yeah, look, that's really true. And I remember Bill and myself would speak, if not every day, it was certainly every second day, to look at the ramifications of new strains coming out. How is that going to affect our students? I used to say to Bill, you know, look, out of every adversity, we've got to get something out of this. And I think the use of Teams, you know, for people to communicate has certainly been one of those things. I think for the school, and as you know, I'll talk about it shortly, but a couple of my family members think that going online for parent-teacher interviews has been the next best thing, rather than racing around the Xavier campus
in the traffic,
trying to find the Dalton room or, you know, E7 or something like that.
So you were so well said, Tony. It's interesting, isn't it, of in a funny way, where it's and there's been plenty of publicity still about the ramifications, the impacts of it, and for such a relational community like ours, it was the quality of those relationships that I think, and because they were so entrenched and it is who we are, that got this whole community through in a quite profound way. It actually brought people closer together. And it may be honed in on elements of relationship in a little way. But as we go back to the start of your time, the college was just releasing a new strategic plan. And then we were contemplating a master plan to make sure that the college was properly planned out. And then we were looking at some even then bigger structural changes as we began to ask deeper questions that strategic plan and master plans began to flesh out. So, you know, that beginning and then it headed into COVID. Mm. So it was quite an amazing start in a way, Tony.
Yeah, it was. They were interesting days, Bill, very interesting days. But I think the incredible thing about it is our teachers, because I also, you know, have a day job, and getting people back into the office even today, even as late as Monday, we were having discussions about, you know, trying to get our people back into the office, because there are some good things about that. Meeting over the coffee machine is still a really good way for people to interact. Our teachers have been back from day one.
Mm.
There's no 80% coming online or anything like that. I think we've probably haven't given enough credit to the resilience of our teachers at Xavier, and all teachers for that matter, stepping up. They're at 100% day one after COVID.
Correct.
If there was day one after COVID.
And I almost felt at times they're at 150% going through COVID. You know, the challenges then of not only, you know, contemplating the usefulness or otherwise sometimes of Teams, but actually trying to maintain the quality of teaching that they would expect to deliver, attend to their well-being of their students, which is so important to them. You know, preparing classes in a deeper way, trying to give feedback to students in a meaningful way. You know, they as you said, Tony, they were exceptional. We think they're exceptional anyway, but they're exceptional during that particular time, etc. So it has changed a whole lot of things. But I was keen to keep going on that sort of little path of questioning because as chair of a board, you know, one of your roles, and if I could throw a compliment your way, one of the things you've been exceptional at of just asking the question and making sure that everyone felt the opportunity to be heard or ask their own questions. And so obviously, as we journeyed into some bigger structural conversations, we were contemplating, you know, what is the right educational fit for the college? Where should Year 7 and 8 students best be placed? That led to a particularly tricky conversation clearly around COSCA and other deeper. But the thing that stood out for me in the board that you led was you just kept asking questions. And so by the end of a 16-month journey of discernment over the future pattern and structure of the college, you couldn't have said there was not an opportunity to ask a question and that every question possible had been prosecuted. It was a great leadership of the board, I felt.
Oh, well, thanks for that. I mean, it's made very easy when the board wants to participate in that conversation. There were a number of COSCA graduates parents on that board, and one of them we might just call out was Chris Callanan, who we all know has since passed away. But I think the other thing about it, though, is Bill, we wanted to reinvigorate. The discussion at that stage was, oh, you're going to have a separate Year 9. Where can you send them? And people send them to different campuses. Some send them to farms. Some send them up into the Harqua Valley. Now, as a kid and as a young person with our children, we used to camp in the Harqua Valley. It's not the warmest place on the earth, I can promise you. Long Johns are the order of the day, even in summer. But we spoke to a guy, Bill and myself, a gentleman called Stephen Holmes, and he really said that the most important years are 7 and 8, that people are misguided, that Year 9 wasn't as important as the 7 and 8. And that's, I think, what started the formation of our thought plans about that.
It's really lovely how it all came together too, because one of our great Jesuits on the board, Jerry Healy, obviously his contribution into the University of Melbourne, into science, but also, you know, Jerry was a great stickler for academic, you know, rigours and discipline, really was attentive to data at quite an early stage. And Jerry as well really cottoned on to the importance of 7 and 8, its foundations, etc. So there were wonderful conversations which came out the back end of it. The thing I loved about, obviously, questions is that almost in that same year, Ned Kelleher was 2019 at this stage, but one of Ned's great lines as a former college captain was about the importance of asking questions. And it's actually on our website if you wanted to, anyone goes to it. Yeah. So, you know, he didn't expect all of his mates to leave with all of the answers, but he did sort of hope and expect them to leave with the right questions to ask.
Tony, as we wander over your years, I'm reflecting back to a board meeting where I was there with you, and it was the night that the decision was made that COSCA would close. What's your memories of that? Because that became really a really tough period as the changes then were announced and they began to be enacted.
I do remember that night. We had 13 meetings in 4 months, board meetings, to try and get our discernment correct. But I think Brian McCoy said that we have to be happy in our thoughts. You've got to be content with what you're doing. And Father Brian McCoy was the provincial at that stage. Yeah. So I think those two things were important in our mind. The next thing was that we had to treat this with great kindness. I mean, Koska's been an integral part of Xavier for so long. Father Chris kept pointing out to us all the time that Koska is always batted above its average, was his saying, as you'd remember, Shane.
Yep.
So we really had to make sure that this wasn't just a closure, that this was there was more to it than that. So we set up a history group, as you'd remember. We'd ask people to bring in various items. The big thing for us was the stained glass of the chapel, that wonderful, wonderful chapel with the stained glass. And I think almost immediately Bill and myself, and I think it was Jerry Farrell, was sitting down and said, oh, we have to do something about that. So we actually took the glass out before the sale was announced. But before we did that, we photographed it. And so on the closing day of Koska, there was this wonderful replication of the stained glass in this film that we'd put around that, and so many people said to me, you know, we're leaving this beautiful stained glass, and I thought, nah, it's all down in the archives.
And it's a great story, isn't it? Yeah. It's obviously they were on their way to being restored.
Yeah.
Every single panel was restored, and then it's been obviously now set as a crown up in the ceiling of the golden ceiling of the new Koska building chapel. And I can say that there's been plenty of tears shed from many a Koska family. But maybe at this point, Shane, it'd be lovely to introduce a Koska parent.
Yes.
Kathleen.
That makes two of us, Kathleen.
So, there's,
she can give the true story.
It's strong through here. But look, welcome. And obviously it's
Thank
lovely
you.
To, you know, your engagement back with the college, having had two sons.
I have two sons, and I've got to say it's really lovely to continue that involvement.
Yeah, it is great. And so obviously, you know, as a Koska parent in your time, my reflections always were the softness, the warmth, the sense of relationship, the intimacy in a really
Absolutely.
Beautiful way of that campus.
Absolutely. It was such a lovely campus. And, look, we were, along with all the Koska families, I'm sure with all the Xavier families, really, very, very sad to see it go. You know, that's life, isn't it? Sometimes these decisions have to be made. They're not easy. And the board obviously put an enormous amount of thought and effort into, you know, making the right decision at the end of the day in the interests of the college. But not only my two sons, but my husband was also a Koska boy, actually. So, yeah, we feel deep links there and have really lovely memories. And as you say, it was such a gentle, lovely place right on the beach, small campus. It was a lovely time. I feel that they were all very fortunate.
And hopefully that sense, though, of gentleness and warmth and connectivity and relationship has been created again in a new building, and it is lovely just at this particular juncture to acknowledge again our great architects, everyone who worked on that project. It has just won two further awards.
Yeah.
So it's won an architectural award, Victorian Architecture Awards, a building award, but now it's won the Learning Environments Award. It won two, and it was the overall winner. And it says, it makes a great statement here, not about the building as a statement piece, but the purpose of the building. And there's some lovely lines in the judge's citation that we'll promote out, but it speaks about the crackle of creativity and character that oozes through the building, and when external people can come in and understand the principles that are at play of why it's been designed in the fashion that it has to bring out the best of students and staff and teachers and those who engage with it, it's pretty special.
And I was in there this week, in fact, with you, Bill, and a family, and a couple of things occurred to me. First of all, how quickly the Koska legend, if you like, has just beautifully transferred here to Barker's Road.
Correct.
And new families listening to this podcast who really have no idea of the Koska history, they're just hearing the word Koska all the time, the Koska building, etc. But it is such a beautiful transferral of that word and its heritage, and it just lives on. It's fantastic.
It is, and you can see that oozing through the people who now occupy the space. But talking of people, Tony, I was keen to sort of throw back over your way. One of your earlier roles was obviously as chair of the foundation. So you chair of the foundation, you were then on the college council, before we incorporated and then into the College Board. So you've had well over 15 years of significant contribution. But one of the things that I appreciate so much about you, it's always about the person. And so one of the great roles that our foundation plays is around offering of bursaries and scholarships for those who wouldn't otherwise be able to afford the education at Xavier. I feel you've always deeply lived that out. It's special to you.
It's critical to our well-being. I think we aimed at one stage, Bill, I think for 20% of our students to have some help, some form of help in attending Xavier College. The number of people that it has helped over the years is quite stunning, and maybe we should publish that one day about that number. But it's the core of Xavier, and one of the great Bill's got the figure there.
So it's a bit, so we operate at it's about 10-11%. Of our students are on different or some little form of assistance. For some, it's really minor. For others, it's more significant. But it's so impactful to offer that experience for a young person at Xavier College.
Yeah, I spoke to Stephen Pardis, who's well known to probably people on ZavChat as well. But Stephen was a recipient of the Cody Scholarship many years ago. But his father spoke to me and said when he spoke to Chris Gleeson, Father Gleeson, and you know, Stephen was admitted into the college. He walked down the steps and he had tears in his eyes. He couldn't believe that his son was going to go to this college. And boy, how Stephen's given back to the college.
I was going to say.
I mean, it's worked both ways. The school has got, you know, a wonderful example of a person that really can help other people.
Yeah. Just for the listeners out there as well, it's important, I think, to point out at the moment, there's quite a different notion of scholarship when it comes to Xavier College. For others, I sense at times it's a little bit about how might we fill out the trophy chests and the cabinets and the outward displays and the academia and how do we, and whilst certainly there are able students who have been gifted a place, for us it's inevitably a means test. It's by the depth of value that the family has placed on. There's a depth to this point of why we extend an opportunity.
And part of my role is as executive director of the foundation, and it's something I really cherish, seeing all of these things actually happen in action. They're not just words. This is absolutely real. Kathleen, can I swing back to you? People probably won't know much about you. Tell us a little bit about your history. You're obviously, Tony tells me, a guru of governance, taking over chair of the board. What made you interested in coming back and getting involved, and a little bit about your background?
Well, I guess my background's legal, although I haven't been in practice for some time now, but of more recent years I've done a lot of work in not-for-profits on boards. And, you know, that's included, for instance, I was the chair of a board called Mercy Works that was a development aid organisation. So we did work in Papua New Guinea and Timor, now the Philippines, but also work within Australia supporting First Nations, largely education programs, but other programs as well, working with First Nations people on that, as well as supporting asylum seekers and refugees. So I guess that whole notion of social justice and being people for others has been very strong for us in our family. And I have to say, one of the things I particularly loved about Xavier was the that it is, you know, you're talking, Tony, about the bursaries being core to what we do, and those bursaries being about enabling people who might not otherwise have the opportunity to come to this school and to experience such an enormous range of things, such an enormous and, you know, fantastic range of things. But at the heart of all of that, it seems to me, is that being a man for others. It's that outreach, being aware that we're a part of a much bigger world and that, you know, we are in privileged circumstances, and that gives us a role in actually reaching out to walk alongside others who, you know, to hopefully enable in some way them to share, you know, to share, to provide a quality of opportunity for all, I guess.
I'm so glad you went there, Kathleen, because it was the other dimension to me for the purpose, again, of our bursaries and our scholarships. Mm. And in our Jesuit world, we speak often men and women for and with others, but that ability to go deeply, to engage critically with the world and to go out in that world and make a difference, a positive difference, and gee, our world needs that at the moment. But you can see the sense of gratitude, a sense of the desire to almost, I think, repay the investment into one's own education that some of these young graduates have, and a real commitment. And as Tony made reference, you know, some of them, when they come back and they speak about what they've done and the start that they've had,
it's,
and
quite
why
moving,
inspired,
isn't it?
Them, yeah, it is, no, really moving, yeah, sort of stuff, but it's real.
I've got a question for each of you. I'm going to put my parent hat on and say, here we are, late 24, lots of challenges in the world, and back to our bubble, lots of challenges here in Victoria. We've got a payroll tax that the college has got to pay, and all the colleges have got to pay. What do you see as you look into the crystal ball, Bill and Kathleen and Tony, the next couple of years? You faced into COVID and into the closing of a campus. It's probably a different world now as you start your journey, Kathleen. Just interested to hear from the three of you. What are the biggest challenges facing us?
Well, I'll tip it on. I'm in a really special... My two children have just finished school.
And well done.
So I'm looking forward with great optimism, but also having a really lovely sense of the world that's now, you know, the next chapter that's opening out in front of our children. And I think that's what we're about. We're about preparing graduates who are capable of dealing with whatever this world throws at them, and to be able to rely on a really core set of values to draw from, to balance their judgment, to give them courage, to ask them to be compassionate, to act with a bit of a conscience and and moral rigour around the decisions that they make. And I think for our young people, to be equipped and capable of making thoughtful, good decisions is one of the most important things that we have. You're so right, Shane. There are challenging times, and you know, you look at cost of living and all sorts of things. But I think if we pick anything, it's not the material elements that come out of a Xavier education. There's that genuine sense of human worth. And one of our elements at the moment that we're putting great amount of attention to is, well, probably a few, but almost bits of executive functioning and EQ that I think ooze out. I mean, they're sort of contemporary buzzwords in some ways, but they actually have got a place in a 500-year tradition that's called Jesuit education. And we had a beautiful public speaking competition for the first time. It was called the Copland's Cup, and it's drawn out of this notion of eloquentia perfecta.
I love it.
Perfect eloquence. But the depth here, again, of a Jesuit education is that it's good people speaking well. It's not a case of the toppings of great oratory.
Yes.
It's got to come from a great heart. And the boys spoke on topics of substance. Mm. And I think that's really important. And the last thing for me, as I throw to Kathleen and Tony, it's that sense that we have of we're after human excellence. And I think that's certainly a strong theme for me as I'm looking forward. And human excellence in all of its dimensions, academic, social, and the contribution to other, culturally, in sporting, the sporting life of the college, etc.
No, well said. I might even take that and put it straight on our website. It's beautifully beautifully harnessed. Kathleen, Tony?
Yeah, look, I think I'm probably following a bit on, Bill, from what you were saying, in that it's, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty, isn't there, that we're all heading into. And, you know, uncertainty can be frightening, but I think, you know, a Jesuit education sort of leans into that really well, that broad education, that sense of, you know, striving for the best in all of us, you know, applying rigour in all that we do, academic rigour, on the sporting field, in all senses, And the other thing I love about the Jesuit education is the broadness of it, that leaning into sort of the liberal arts, that notion of really nurturing critical thinking, the sort of thinking that applies to change. And one of the things that makes me very hopeful, and I am, about the future for our students is that when you look at them and you talk to them about their future, they're really positive about it. They're not at all stressed about change. They love change. Yeah. And the idea of being in a whole lot of different, career paths down the track, that's motivating for them, exciting and motivating. And I find that really positive and hopeful myself. And I think we just need to continue and to strengthen providing the sort of basis for them, to enable them to, do that and flourish, absolutely.
Now, well said.
As we pass over to Toko, what a great comment that is. And I sometimes feel it's, as adults, we project so much of our own vulnerabilities onto our children. And yet we've got to be able to step back and hold that and let them be them. And Kathleen, you summed up, I think, the current generation really, really well. Tony,
yeah. Yeah, well, really following on from that, I think it's parents, and in particular for myself, Shane and myself share one thing. We're both grandparents. And
I was keen to get to this, Tony. That was one of the last key questions. So.
A number of years ago, one of my lovely grandkids, I picked him up at down at Burke Hall. Now, I'm not the perfect grandfather. I've picked them up about twice in the last 6 years. So this is not about how good am I. It's probably how terrible am I. But he'd only been there about a month, and we're walking down Nolan Street, and he looked across to me and he said, he's telling me about Burke Hall and the history of it. But he said, "You know this black and red blazer I've got on, Pa?" "Yes, it was very neat and tidy at that stage." And he said, "You can never take it off." And I thought, that's the core of a Jesuit education. You can't take it off. In our case at Xavier, beautifully, it's red and black. But I think that's the essence of a Xavier education. And it's really important. It does not just now, it's forever.
Yeah. Well, I did want to come and touch the fact that whilst you might be ending your term, and I'm sure there's a very happy wife, Jenny, with you concluding your term.
I'm not sure about that.
Worried about the future. But I think you probably are underplaying your role as pa, because it bubbles out of you the passion for your family. Mm. But it must be that we run into each other every time you have picked someone up, because every time, "That Burke Hall, it's amazing." It's just, and it comes out of, obviously, of your grandchildren. So there's plenty of grandchildren of yours sprinkled through the school and elsewhere, but that's a lovely connection.
Five at the moment, four to come.
Oh, wow.
Correct. So Elder's about to go into year 12 next year.
Yes, Tom's into year 12,
which is great, and they're sprinkled right the way down. So that's just a lovely way of helping you to remain connected. I know you don't need an invitation, and you're so welcome. But again, as we wrap up this episode, your contribution to the college over six quite extraordinary years, we started with a strategic plan, we went into COVID, we've restructured a school, there's an extraordinary new development that has been brought to life. But it's throughout it all, Tony, it's been people and relationships, and how you've built those and fostered them and cared for people that will be, well, it'll be missed. There's plenty of others to take the place of that, but it's a great testament of you and your personal character, and our great gratitude to you.
Oh, well, thanks, Bill. But I think in all of this, you must remember that we do have a very strong board, and behind that, an executive, and Bill and Shane and a whole series of people. That one person didn't make this happen. A whole team of people made all of this happen, and that would be my closing thanks. I'd thank everyone on the board, and that whole extended our architects, Ned Ireland from the builders. Were, what a great effort that was, gurning out the paths on the last day.
Correct, yeah. And again, it says people, isn't it? Shane, it's been a great episode.
Thanks. It's been a super
Kathleen
adventure.
And Tony, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic, Bill. Thanks for great 6 years leading, Tony, and good luck for your time, Kathleen. And Bill, we've got the college captain back with us next week for our last episode with Michael Lawcroft.
Correct, that's special. So we'll be terrific. He's our third college captain to come through his AvChat. And to round out with that Costco building and Michael Allcroft, who is a great doyen of life at Xavier. He's such an experienced educator, and that building and the whole precinct and the 7-8 students haven't been in better hands under Michael's stewardship. So looking forward to having them on next week.
Thanks, Bill. And again, Kathleen and Tony, I won't be saying this next week. So for the last time for this year, I will say we'll look forward to chatting to you next week, 7 days hence.